The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, folks. 23 December 2020. Well, I'm going to skim over some topics here and then get into some of these in depth. The Democrats now want to move COVID lockdowns to climate lockdowns. Yes, that's right. We're going to expand our merry little scam plan. Anti-lockdown protesters, I've seen video on this, forced their way into the Oregon Capitol. Some were armed. One guy was even carrying a pitchfork. Good for you. And the story I didn't get to yesterday, Michigan House votes to repeal law Gretchen Whitmer, used to issue coronavirus. I want to pick up with that because I wanted to do that yesterday and just ran out of time. Now, she has given the bird to the Michigan State Supreme Court on this issue. Legislation that could overturn an emergency law Governor Gretchen Whitmer used to issue coronavirus orders passed the Michigan House on Friday. Senate Bill 857, sponsored by Senator Tom Barrett, Republican out of Charlotte, would repeal the 1945 Emergency Powers of Governor Act. The article said it is one of two state laws currently on the books Whitmer used to issue a wide swath of orders that required masks in public spaces, limited crowd sizes, and closed various establishments after the legislature opted not to extend the initial state of emergency declaration on April 30. Well, that didn't stop the governor. In October, the governor's use of the act was deemed unconstitutional during a split Michigan Supreme Court decision when Republicans and many others challenged her orders in state and federal court. And this is the law, whether we're talking about election law, whether we're talking about the EO capabilities of any governor. Folks, all this stuff has to be done in the legislature. Why? Because they're the ones charged with codifying law. Law is made in a legislature, not at the pen hand of some witch that claims to be governor of Michigan. Well, she is, but she could very well be some czar in some communist country, any place in the planet. That's left up to the legislature to codify many of the COVID-19 executive orders invalidated by the ruling. Although the state's Department of Health and Human Services, yes, we can all trust those people, has mirrored several of Whitmer's response measures and subsequent public health emergency orders. Yeah, and we can keep the scam going for a little while longer. That's basically what they're telling everybody. And the law does not matter. Now, we go from stupidity to horrifying stupidity. de Blasio, oh, it's the mayor of New York. You might have thought it was Cuomo. No, they're interchangeable. They're both as stupid. De Blasio's secret agenda has popped out. He's just confirmed his horrifying plan for New Yorkers. And I got to play you the clip, folks. I got to play you the clip. And this is Gary Franchi, which has done an excellent political job on the happenings and the nightmares. What say you, Gary?
De Blasio has now revealed his secret agenda. It's out. He's confirmed it. It's absolutely horrifying, his plan for New Yorkers, of course. This is also an admission of the greater progressive plot to destroy America. We hear it quite often. I'm going to get to the details in a second. Before I do, if you're watching for the first time, please do make sure you hit the red subscribe button down below. And then you hit that notification bell so we can bring real news and opinion every day. And here's something I do want you to do. I want you to check out nextnewsnetwork.com. We have ad-free, uncensored, bonus content, and exclusive interviews. And you'll get a chance to see our content before anyone else and before anywhere else. You see what I'm saying? I'll see you there. Nextnewsnetwork.com. This story from Bronson Stocking from Town Hall reports that it's not shocking that a Democrat wants to redistribute wealth. What's shocking is that a Democrat just admitted it. It happened during his weekly press conference. The New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio stunned New Yorkers while addressing systemic racism in education, the economy, policing, and elsewhere. And according to the communist, a need exists to profoundly change the distribution of resources. Spoken like a true commie. Quote, he said, I like to say very bluntly, our mission is to redistribute wealth. A lot of people bristle at that phrase. That is, in fact, the phrase we need to use. Unreal. Want to see it? Here it is.
That we needed to profoundly change the distribution of resources. I like to say very bluntly, our mission is to redistribute wealth. A lot of people bristle at that phrase. That is, in fact, the phrase we need to use. We have been.
Now, keep in mind that he's talking about redistributing New York City's wealth when New York City doesn't have any more wealth, doesn't have any business. They got people putting houses and lofts and condos on the market, and they don't give a damn what they're getting for it. They know they're going to end up on the short end of the stick, but they know if they live in New York City much longer, they won't be able to survive. So what he's talking about is distributing debt. That's pretty much what he's talking about.
I've been doing this work for 7 years to more equitably redistribute resources throughout our school system. That means pre-K for all, 3K for all, advanced placement courses.
This guy is a straight-up communist. There is no denying that now. We're going to redistribute the wealth of everybody. Unreal. So they write here that while pushing socialism, most Democrats deny being socialists. Protected by their liberal media allies, Democrats believe well, so long as they can avoid certain labels, refrain from embracing certain slogans like redistributing wealth, the American people won't notice that Democrats have become full-on Marxists. Democrats don't even want to redistribute the money to the poor. They want to use other people's wealth to fund wasteful government programs, hire government workers, subsidize failed green energy initiatives, and pay for abortions, and throw more good money after bad on education, and spend millions of taxpayer dollars on everything from critical race theory seminars to transgender surgeries for military service members. And now we have it on the record. Communist de Blasio admitting that that is the agenda, and he said it himself.
That we needed to profoundly change the distribution of resources. I like to say very bluntly, our mission is to redistribute wealth. A lot of people bristle at that phrase. That is, in fact, the phrase we need to use. We have been doing this work for 7 years to more equitably redistribute resources throughout our school system. That means pre-K for all, 3K for all, advanced placement courses.
I wonder if he's reading a teleprompter. Because if you watch his body language, I want to play it one more time. Watch what he does when he says redistribute wealth. He almost like kind of flinches and he folds his hands onto his book in front of him. And I believe that's where his actual, his notes for his presentation are. So watch, let's watch again, and you'll see his reaction. I think maybe he was sort of going off the cuff, and then he slips and says it. I don't know. You be the judge. Watch his hands. Right after he says it, it looks like he flinches. Watch.
That we needed to profoundly change the distribution of resources. I like to say very bluntly, our mission is to redistribute wealth. A lot of people bristle at that phrase. That is, in fact, the phrase we need to use.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't see the replay, obviously. But I don't care what he does with his hands. I don't care if he sticks his thumbs in his ears and gives us the na-na-na-na. I don't care. This guy has single-handedly destroyed New York City. While the governor, Governor Cuomo, is busy destroying the state. Wow. Now, this is no surprise to us because we've been talking socialism and communism for how long on this network? But now you're seeing it openly admitted. And folks, didn't he have to swear to get in his office, protect and defend and do all that other stuff, and he's an abject communist? Why is he still in office? Why is he not being charged? Why is he not in court? Why is he not going to jail? You know, folks, in this country, you can serve hefty prison sentences for innumerable offenses against the state. But when the state does an offense against you, it's okay. Whatever we say is okay because, you know what, we're the ruling class. Oh, we're the governors. Oh, we're the mayors. Oh, we're this or that. Yeah, I know what you are. My only question is what the hell to do with you. And if you think what we have been telling you about the grand plans here, everybody's got to get on board with this great reset going on here. You know, we're all in this together. Nah, I don't think so. But as we've reminded people that they're going to get real down and dirty with getting you to comply with any administrative asset that wants to throw out a dictate from his office and supposedly carry the weight of, you don't comply, we'll send the boys with the badges and the guns after you. Okay. Go ahead. There's more of us than there are of them. People who fail to get a COVID-19 vaccination in France could be banned from using public transport, according to a draft law sparking angry protest from opposition politicians on Tuesday. And to say nothing about the people that have been in the streets of Paris and all over France going, we're not going to tolerate this stuff anymore. Hey, Marie Antoinette, the cake comment ain't going to cut it. Prime Minister Jean Castex on Monday got his cabinet's backing for a bill that's designed to provide a legal framework for dealing with health crises, including the coronavirus pandemic. According to the text, which will now be submitted to Parliament, a negative COVID test or proof of a preventative treatment, including the administration of a vaccine, could be required for people to be granted access to transport or to some locations, as well as certain activities. Now, folks, it's like de Blasio admitting, yes, I'm a communist, and I'm going to redistribute wealth. Yeah, we're the government over here, and we're going to start restricting because we want to jab you with this crap and you don't want it? Well, wait till you see what we do to you next. Now, is it any surprise to me? No. But they're now having to take public position, folks, and spell it out a little bit more clearly of their tyranny. That's what's unique about this. Because they're going to have to back it up with action that nobody wants to see. Gee, do you think that's good positive law? I don't think so. The government's vaccination campaign is to start on this Sunday, and officials already face widespread resistance to the treatment developed in record time. Yeah, we know. I'll get into the side effects of that in a minute here. A recent poll No. You know, they don't even believe in democracy because, well, 59% of the respondents to a recent poll by the journal Du Dimanche newspaper found that 59% of the respondents said they would not get a COVID shot, one of the highest rates in the European Union. President Macron has promised that coronavirus vaccinations, though strongly recommended, will not be mandatory. A pledge reiterated by the health minister, Oliver Véran, on Tuesday. But wait a minute. He's saying one thing and they're proceeding on another track. Is that causing us cognitive dissonance? Nah, when they open up their lips, they're lying. We know that. It's just how fascinating it is to me that the conflicting lies, they can't even get their lies straight. Varane said, I'll say it again. I'll say it once again. Vaccination is not mandatory, but... But wait a minute, I'm not going to be able to ride the bus, and I'm not going to be able to go here, or I'm going to be restricted from doing that or doing what I want to do. Oh, it's not going to be mandatory that you take the vaccination, but we're going to punish you until you do take it, or you're dead. Please allow us to shoot you up with the vaccine. Don't allow the state to kill you, that your family will have no retribution, because you know what? We've rigged it that you can't go back on the vaccine companies. Big surprise. There is a lump of coal in your stocking, all right. Yeah, we're going to experiment on it. If you die from our vaccine, you got no recourse. Just lump it. Opposition politicians condemned the draft law. Marine Le Pen, leader of the far right, RN party, calling it essentially totalitarian. Well, yeah. In a backhanded way, this bill does not aim to make vaccinations mandatory, but will prevent anybody who doesn't comply from having a social life. RN party spokesman Sebastian Chenu said Macron's government was planning a health dictatorship. See the trick here? We're not going to mandate that you do the vaccines, but we're going to make your damn life miserable to the point that we're going to destroy your business, you, your life. We don't care. What don't you get? You're going to have to comply sooner or later, so why not get it over with? Now, I was sitting in the bank line today. Oh, not sitting in my car in the bank line. Not in the lobby of the credit union, standing in line, of course. No. And I look up in my rearview mirror, and there's a guy sitting behind in his car by himself with his stupid mask on his face. And folks, the car ahead of me in that line, of course, had, oh, God bless our troops. God bless the USA. You know those little magnetic bows? Remember when we did this campaign, the yellow bows? Tie a yellow bow around your tree to support our troops. Yes. The only one I have in the back of my car is that yellow ribbon that says on it, bring them home. And I'm sitting there staring in the back of a car that the other magnetic, in the form of a ribbon, says support our troops. And then I look down in the lower left-hand corner of the SUV's tailgate, and there's the Christian symbol. You know, the fish with the cross. And I'm thinking, yeah. What are the chances you also love Israel as well? Yeah, that was a given. Then after looking at that, I look in the rearview mirror and I see this guy with his mask on his face. What do you think went through my mind? I had to stop myself. I found myself reaching for the driver door and starting to lift my left leg to exit the car. And I had to stop myself because I was going to get out of the car and I was going to go back with this guy that had his mask on in a car by himself. And I just wanted to ask him, well, what the hell do you think you're doing? But I didn't. Should I have? Eh.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So they're not going to make it mandatory, folks. They're just going to make your life miserable. I would consider that to be a form of terrorism, don't you? Because this is certainly now in the realm of politics, not science, not healthcare. This is pure, in-your-face, reset politics. Mark in Georgia. Hello, Mark.
Hey. Well, you understand, you know, why I say if we took all the politicians and fed them to the pigs, what would come out the other end of the pig would actually be an improvement, right?
Right.
And that's why I had a bumper sticker. Maybe I ought to print out another one as soon as I finish this gig. I just didn't think it was appropriate. You know, Santa wears red, but elves wear brown. So... anyway, the thing is that what this reset, from what I gather, the explanation that makes the most sense is they're trying to wash their hands of the obligations that they have made to take care of us in our, you know, it's like, well, gee, you know, we got this crisis where we can't pay for the benefits that we promised you when we've been picking your pocket all your life and taking out fiat currency that had a certain value throughout your life, although it's diminishing. And now, you know, here's your monthly stipend, and I hope you enjoy the one decent meal that you're going to be able to afford this month, because you're not going to afford anything else. So, you know, the thing is that I really wish there was some way to get across to people. We need to stop. We need to find some way of getting people outside of the closed lock loop of what people think they know, where they're dismissing that their side is just as corrupt as the other one. So anyway, I got to get back to work, but you're in my prayers, and I hope to have some more money for you soon. Okay.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it very much. Well, this one is not going to make you very comfortable. And if you have small children in the room, please send them out. No, this story does not contain bad words, just some people's very, very, very bad deeds. Nuns pimped out boys to priests and politicians who had raped the children as other men watched at German children's home. It emerges as victim wins compensation battle. Catholic nuns running a children's home in Germany pimped out boys to priests, politicians, and businessmen who had raped the children at sex parties, according to a victim who has won compensation. Darmstadt Social Welfare Court awarded the man, now 63, compensation after he detailed how nuns dragged him to be abused by priests and powerful men at parties starting at the age of 5. They paid the nuns for doing so. The victim, who remains anonymous, said he was raped about 1,000 times during his time at the home in the 1960s and 70s, alongside other boys. The court ruled on the case in May, but the latest abuse scandal for the Catholic Church only came to light this month after a senior clergyman spoke publicly. The Bishop of Speyer, Karl Heinz Wiesemann, publicly named former official of the diocese, Rudolf Matzenbacher, who died in 1998, as being allegedly involved in the abuse. The bishop said 3 further victims have since come forward. The abuse victim was just 5 when he joined the home run by the Order of the Sisters of Divine Savior in Germany, city of Speyer, in March of 1963. The victim said he was literally dragged by the nuns to Matzenbacher's apartment to be sexually abused, and that was reported by Der Spiegel newspaper. They would beat him when he resisted. The man, who was an altar boy at Speyer Cathedral, said he was assigned the priest as a confessor. The victim said the visitors to the children's home would abuse him at sex parties. It was here that he said the nuns would pass youngsters aged between 7 and 14 to clergymen, local politicians, and businessmen. The nuns were pimps, he said. If they disobeyed, they would be beaten with sticks or have their heads smashed against the wall. There was a room where the nuns served drinks and food to the men. In the other corner of the children, in the other corner of the room, the children were raped. The nuns earned money. The men donated generously. Sometimes I would run back to the home in blood-smeared clothes. The blood ran down my legs, he said. Before I left in September of 72, I had been sexually abused about 1,000 times. Boy, are you hoping there's a hell that these people will burn for eternity in it? Let them get their giddy-ha-has now. They got an eternity to pay for it. One would hope.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So what did they do about this children's home? Well, the man testified in court that the nuns were key in aiding the abuse of the children at the home, even claiming the sisters themselves would sexually abuse underage boys. They managed to shut down the home in the year 2000. Here I am, folks, 20 years later, telling you this story. Do you think this is something they didn't want out? Yeah, I would say so. The Catholic Church paid the man 15,000 euros in compensation and 10,000 euros for therapy costs alongside a victim's pension. Wow. But what's the use of the money? The victim, who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, asks, "My marriage is broken, my bones, liver, and kidneys are as well." Yeah. Dr. Kelly. Hello, Kelly.
I have to second everything that you've said with regards to that previous story there. And yes, those would make some great targets for practice at somewhere like Front Sight. And I'm so grateful to be able to come here to RBN to get instruction like your, I'm going to call it the Corralia virus, because it's to corral and to thin, I guess, the herd or whatever. And I'm so grateful that you're there, J.R. Moore, hearing from Dr. Horowitz and Dan Sutterfield. And I'm just grateful to have a group of mentors and teachers that are giving us the goods on a regular basis. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. I appreciate your call and your support and your show. When's your program on?
This is Dr. Kelly, and I'm grateful to host the Grand Jury Reawakening at 10 a.m. Pacific or high noon Texas, which is hanging time for those wrongdoers.
Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, don't mess with Texas. God bless Texas. God bless the U.S. Marshals and those state auditors and those personnel board members and the grand jury, of course, for doing your duty.
All righty. Kelly, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, too.
I'm putting the cart before the horse here, because on the issue of voter fraud and all this other stuff, well, maybe this would make more sense, because I'm going to end up trying to explain more about it than I would be if I just ran the piece here. A Wisconsin judge says our court system has been deeply intimidated by the left. Now, this man, former Wisconsin state judge, who's representing the Trump campaign in litigation in that state, testified before Congress that justice is not being served because of high-pressure intimidation tactics at the hands of the radical ideological left.
I want to say that right off the bat that I'm honored to represent the president. I was honored to get the call, but I'm not naive. One of the reasons I was called is because virtually every major law firm in this country and in this city refused to represent the president, not because of the lack of merit of his claims. We've certainly demonstrated there's merit, but because of the cancel culture, because of the environment that has been created by the left that has intimidated lawyers. So they can't be here. They're not here because from the giant law firm, precisely because they were ordered by their management committees and others that you cannot take those cases. And the reason you cannot take those cases is because our clients or the Democrat Party or the incoming administration will remember that and they will hold it against you. That's a sad state of affairs. As a former judge, I was so incensed by that that I took the representation. That was the ultimate reason I took that representation. And I've heard a lot today about what went on afterwards, as if these latest threats are coming from the right. Remember why and how this started after the election. We need to have faith in our court system. We have to acknowledge that the court system has been deeply intimidated by the left, just as the lawyers have been intimidated. And that is a sad, sad state of affairs.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, and this is just not Trump and the votes, folks. This is the loony left and their activist judges making decisions that the only decision I could make after seeing their conduct on the bench is they should be removed. Prosecutors have declined to file charges against a Vancouver Black Lives Matter militant who followed the Proud Boys to a bar following a memorial for the Patriot Prayer member who had been murdered by Antifa in Portland. and ran over one of them with his car. Actually, his truck. The victim, Shane Moon, as well as other witnesses, say that it was targeted attack due to his political beliefs. He was placed in intensive care following the attack, as he was bleeding from his brain, sustained damage to his left temporal lobe, has a concussion, and could not remember the impact. Court records filed on December 11th in Clark County Superior Court show Charles R. Holliday Smith, 30, was exonerated pending further investigation. His bail of $100,000, which had already been posted, was also exonerated. The Columbian reported, I don't know what publication that is, but no charges were officially filed against Holliday Smith, who's also known as Robbie Smith, who has been accused of first-degree assault and hit and run, resulting in injury. Nothing to see here. Moon had just attended a memorial for a man who was murdered by Antifa member Michael Forrest Reynold in August when he was hit. Following the memorial, Moon and a group of his friends and Proud Boys went to a local bar down the street called Charlie's. According to Proud Boy chairman Enrico Terrio, a man who appeared to be a member of Antifa was also at the bar and began taking photos and recordings of the people inside. Rex Fergus, who witnessed the incident, told the Gateway Pundit that a man started walking around the bar and recording us, putting his phone in our faces, supposedly for doxing. Fergus said, and I'm quoting him, as he was doing that, one of our guys confronted him and said, "Hey, get out of here. We don't want you filming us. This is a private establishment. We're not in the public." The man continued to try to pick fights with people at the bar at the time until security finally kicked him out of the bar. As the man was kicked out of the bar, there were several Proud Boys in the parking lot and just arriving from the memorial service. Fergus explained that the man had also become combative with them. Once the guy started his vehicle up and started to drive off, he drove over Shane. Shane tried to get out of his way, but the guy ran him over. Fergus said that Shane's body went up on the roof of the truck and his head hit the concrete when he fell. Immediately unconscious, after he hit him, the driver of the truck gassed it and left the parking lot, leaving Shane on the ground, bleeding out of his ears. Let's go to the phones here. JR in Georgia. Hello, JR.
Good evening, John. Thank you for taking the call. I'm interested in the fact that I know Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, within the past 2 weeks or so, had mentioned something about state of Texas and its constitution for the state in regards to secession. I don't know your state house representative, but I believe a bill was introduced in a subject matter in regards to secession. My question to you is, if things continue down the path they're going on, do you believe the state of Texas will be the leader of some type of, for lack of a better term, a revolution or a secession movement if the state of Georgia loses both Republican seats, which appears it may happen? And unfortunately, I learned today that both the senators who are running as Republicans voted for that bill as a yay. And so I am extremely torn, angered, and extremely pissed off, because I would love to break these people over a goat's gate and give me a Louisville bat. And what my grandpa used to have was creosote barrels on the farm to treat the fence posts with and put it up that derriere. And I'm tired. This is getting relentless day after day. of these type of circumstances.
Okay, J.R., you asked me a question. You're going to allow me to answer it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. My answer to that would be no. I've heard this secession before over and over and over again. I've heard it argued many times. What the end result and what the globalists would like is us, of course, shooting each other in the streets of America. Another thing they would like to see is the bust-up of America. And I think I've made it pretty much known to just about every mother and her uncle and every church mouse out there, my opinion on that, is we're either going to survive or we're going to get what the globalists wanted, a busted-up America. We have our form of government at the federal end, at the state end. And my response to you, JR, is we better figure out how to make the Fed back off. We do have the 10th Amendment for each individual state, but where are the peoples pushing the legislature on that issue? That we don't necessarily have to leave the Union, but we don't have to put up with your federal unconstitutional crap either. Before any secession talk should ensue, that tactic should be employed. Because this, you know, okay, Texas secedes, JR, and we got Mexico to our back and the federal government to our front. Not a position I really feel that comfortable with. But I understand your argument and your anger and your frustration as to how this is all going, because everybody's decided to up and leave the train that it stops at Constitution Station. And that is the remedy to our problem, but we want to seek other avenues. Breaking off and seceding and holing up in the wall. Well, you know what? It's my same position that I've said time and time and time again with people that get themselves out of the system. Hooray and goody for you. But the beast still eats those that have not gotten out of that system. And rather than running from that beast, should you not turn on it and destroy the beast? JR, your response.
There's not much that I disagree with you in your previous statement. I do not think secession is the answer. But there is going to come a benchmark that's going to be met at one point in time, because we as American citizens are not getting the reprieve that we seek through our courts, through any manner of government. We are not getting the reprieve that we're seeking. And I will admit, I'm a country bumpkin, and I don't know where we get our reprieve from at this particular moment in time.
I'm not going to let you go on because we're running out of time and I've got loaded phones here, okay?
I understand.
My position on this I've made clear. And imagine 75 million people that voted for Trump. You think they're going along with this crap? So it isn't like you're alone out there. There's just not been an event that has sparked that 75 million to move in a certain direction. This will happen. This is going to happen. You can make bet on it. And that point in time, we'll see which way it goes. Like I said on the program yesterday, we're all sitting here trying to plan ahead of a situation that we've never seen happen before. And I'm not seeing any constructive things going on out there except that Mr. West wants to secede from the Union. Well, yeah. Okay. JR, thank you for your call. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Jeff in Florida, you're up next. Hello, Jeff.
Thank you. I'm reading this book by James Perloff called COVID-19, Red Pills, and the Agendas to Come. Mm-hmm. And he says there's this attorney in Corpus Christi, Texas. His name is Timothy, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, it's J-A-P-H-E-T. And he was George Floyd's appointed public defender in 2016. And he says, this attorney says that George Floyd died in 2017. Have you heard anything like that?
No, I have not.
No, it's raises a lot of conspiracy theories, I think, but I just wondered if you heard anything. Okay.
Well,
thank
so
you
the
very much.
So the client, they, okay, this guy wrote a book and he said that George Floyd, the client, is this the same guy that wrote the book or no?
No, no. Okay. James Perloff.
Perloff wrote the book about this attorney that represented, okay, Pink Floyd there, and said that he died in 2017 and not 2019.
Correct.
I don't know about that. I know there's not just one James Floyd in that city. I do not know where that came from.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
John in Missouri. Hello, John.
Hi, John. You were talking about the debt earlier. How would the United States pay back a debt of that size?
You can't. I mean, you can't.
That's what I thought. So what's the answer?
The answer is to dump the Federal Reserve. That's the answer.
How does that get rid of the debt?
The supposed debt out of their funny money system? Would you want to repay that once you realize how you've been screwed, blued, and tattooed?
Is the debt to the Federal Reserve? Is the debt to the people that bought bonds and other such?
No, in the end result here, John, all of this debt is dumped on your shoulders, my shoulders, all American shoulders. This is the magic of their wonderful potion that they've been giving us for over 100 years. And currency should be nothing more than the settling of debt. That's all that it's there for. And it's an exchange. Look at it as an exchange for your labors, how you compensated. They got to give you something for your time and your effort and your labor. Well, that came in the form of money. Unfortunately, what you have been convinced, and many people have been convinced, is that's really money. It's not. It is a note of debt. It doesn't represent wealth at all. It represents debt. Now, what to do about that debt? Well, I've heard it suggested that the Treasury Department could mint up a coin and give it to our wonderful bankster gangsters and say, hey, this coin, we've deemed that this coin is worth this much, and we're paying it to you. Our debt is settled.
But how does that pay the Chinese and the English and everybody else that's holding America's debt?
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't. Now, does it? And concessions will have
like it does.
Concessions will have to be made for them for the debt that they hold, unless they get a little owly and say China, for instance, doesn't like the idea that we're going to cancel their $2 trillion debt with the United States.
There's the answer. It's the cancellation.
Exactly. And this is just something that was to be used as an instrument to settle business. And what they've done is turned it into a money-making industry, which it never should have been. And this came to light and was demonstrated to the entire world in 2008, when in fact, under the mortgage-backed security debacle that ran up trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, that was the first inkling to people, wait a minute here, how is this possible? How can a system run us over $100 trillion in debt and nobody gets in trouble over it? Well, it's their little shenanigans and it's their shell game of wealth, who's got the wealth? Well, you don't. And to assure that they make money into the future, we're going to keep charging you interest on that debt. And our idiot politicians in Washington, D.C. can't see their way clear of going, wait a minute, we need to stop this carnival ride right now.
All right, one more question, sir. Is it the fault of the politicians or the fault of the American voters that we have this problem?
We all share the responsibility of it. Supposedly as people electing our representatives, them in office, them doing their deeds, and us not checking them on their dirty deeds is ultimately our fault.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. But that doesn't explain, and it doesn't give an explanation to the public as to how this funny money system has screwed them beyond belief. Rand Paul didn't mention anything about that on the floor of the Senate when he's talking about all the wheelbarrow money that's going out the back door. He could have, but he didn't. That's why I said his daddy was known as Dr. No on Capitol Hill. He's known as Dr. Maybe, maybe not. All right. Folks, we'll be back with you Monday. We're taking tomorrow and Friday off, New Year's and New Year's Day next week, this week, tomorrow, Thursday, Christmas Eve, and Friday, Christmas Day. And as I've said, I'm going to close out my three shows with Steve Voss, patriotic music that I hope people recognize as probably being one of the best singer-songwriters, and more importantly, a guy that understands what's going on. And he's set his thought to lyrical music, and I am indebted to him for doing that. One of these days, I'll get the mayor of Palme, California on air, also known as Steve Voss. I'd very much like to talk to this gentleman. It's been a while. I want to thank you all for your support. We have a note that's been posted on our website, and our thanks to the people in the support of this network. And that's from all of us, the staff here at Republic Broadcasting. So, drawing to a close on this year. We still got a little bit left next year. We're going to deal with this one day at a time, folks. Mikey? I'm sorry? We're good? All right. Folks, Merry Christmas. And we'll save the Happy New Year's until next week. But put a little bit more Christ in your Christmas. It ain't going to hurt you.
Against the crown, another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war, and liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today. Thank God for the renegades and the lives they lead. Far ahead of their time, without the renegades, Lord knows where we'd be. When it comes to heroes, renegades are mine.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.